Welcome to this AAT podcast. My name is John Calladine. I am an accountant in practice in Eastbourne, and my firm specialises in the not-for-profit sector. Our subject for this podcast is VAT and charities. Charities do not pay VAT. Often an expression I hear, or another regular quote over the telephone is, "I thought charities were exempt or a special case." How further from the truth are such remarks? VAT is a minefield for the unsuspecting charity and can become costly not only in terms of VAT suffered, but also in professional fees in sorting out the problems. Once upon a time, charities were considered just organisations that received voluntary gifts and donations and gave money away, either in time or services. Times have changed, and charities have diversified into many different activities. And this particularly includes churches and religious organisations. Long gone are the days when the church would just have a worship service. There are many who are involved in major community projects, run cafes, shops, gymnasiums, laundrettes, etc., providing services to the community, much of which would be VATable and needs to be carefully considered when giving professional advice. It is important from the outset to distinguish in our minds charities where VAT registration is appropriate and most cases where not. Of course, for some charities, where their only sources of income are voluntary donations and gifts, and perhaps the occasional grant, VAT registration is something which never comes into the equation. Their levels of income may be above the VAT threshold, but of course such income is regarded as non-business and outside the scope. However, for other charities, their sources of income can be quite diverse, ranging from voluntary donations and gifts to service contract income, charity shop sales, cafe sales, and consultancy fees, etc. In those cases, it is very important to identify the different sources of income and under what bracket they should be analysed. The word used in the VAT legislation is supplies, which can be confusing, and a distinction needs to be made between business and non-business supplies. Non-business supplies are, as already indicated, income outside the scope and can be disregarded. Whilst business supplies can be taxable supplies, both standard rated and zero rated, and also exempt supplies. It is important to remember that exempt supplies are not the same as outside the scope supplies. This can be misleading. A simple analysis of headings and an attempt to analyse the income will soon start to help the listener realise whether a charity should be registered or not. The current registration threshold is £67,000. If the charity has standard rated and zero rated supplies above that threshold, then registration is appropriate. Therefore, VAT at the new rate of 15% is payable on standard rated supplies. But whether all the VAT input tax suffered can be recovered is not certain, and we will come to that later. When considering whether a charity has exceeded the threshold, the same rules apply as for commercial organisations. A rolling 12 monthly average figure is considered, and once the threshold is breached, registration is necessary on the first day of the month following discovery. Therefore, if the threshold is exceeded during December 2008, registration becomes appropriate on the 1st of February 2009, because it is possibly January before identification of the problem became apparent. Penalties can be payable if VAT registration is not done at the correct time. Before we proceed further to discuss the various supplies and expenditure of a charity and their correct VAT treatment, we should consider charities that are not VAT registered and never will be. Charities, whether registered or not, are still entitled to special exemptions in relation to VAT suffered. VAT, of course, is a direct tax, and if you're not VAT registered, you'll be paying VAT on your inputs at 15%, and this can be unwelcome additional expenditure, which charities wished to avoid. The most well-known exemption, of course, is a zero rating of advertising costs to a charity. This relief covers advertisements on any subject, including staff recruitment, pre-printed collection boxes, etc. Full details can be found in the appropriate VAT notices. The suppliers of this service should zero rate this to the charity, but the charity may need to supply registration number or other proof of its charitable status. Aids for the disabled and goods to these charities made available to disabled people for their personal domestic use are zero rated. Again, full details can be found in the appropriate VAT publications. However, it is important to note that aids supplied to charities for general use are not zero rated. For example, a stair lift installed in a building available for all to use. Another special consideration is construction, which is a complex area. Specialist advice should always be sought when considering building projects, for no other reason than the substantial costs involved. The construction of a new dwelling, a relevant residential charitable building, including a completely separate annex, is zero rated for charitable purposes. A relevant residential building includes a children's home, homes for the elderly, disabled and mentally ill, residential accommodation for students, accommodation for the armed forces, monastery, nunneries or similar institutions. But the main purpose of the accommodation is for residents. A relevant charitable purpose means use by a charity otherwise than in the furtherance of a business, or as a village hall, or similar, providing social and recreational facilities to the local community. We come to this term business again later, but this has been a subject of court cases. Simply, let's consider, say, a small charity running a nursery or creche or playgroup with small amounts of income and therefore not VAT registered, but possibly obtaining large monies or grants to build a new village hall, stroke building. Is the building being used for charitable purposes, or is it being used to run a business? There are some court cases worth considering. St Paul's Community Project and Yarborough Children's Trust, where in both cases it was decided that these groups were not business and therefore charitable, and zero rating on the building was allowed, saving considerable sums of money. Zero rating, therefore, of new construction is valuable. However, conversion, reconstruction, or an extension or alteration to an existing building will be standard rated. So where is the dividing line? Over the years, I've been involved in a number of cases where a charity, quite often a church, want to do an extension to the premises and wants to avoid paying VAT. More often, the problem can be overcome with advanced planning, involving a good architect or surveyor, and often involves talks with the local VAT office. A building can be regarded as new if it has its own entrance, its own facilities, and therefore be classified as zero rated, albeit there may be some sort of door, stroke, chamber, stroke, hallway into the other parts of the building. I remember this being achieved in a project in Norwich, where a completely new two-storey building was put on the front of the existing building and alongside it, in part. But because it had its own entrance and facilities, zero rating was applied. Howbeit, there was still access to the existing building, and in time it all became integral. There is a clear indication that if any business activity takes place within the building, the zero rating relief cannot be automatically applied. There are concessions available relating to qualifying use if it can be proved that 90% of the building is used for charitable purposes, or say 90% of the people using the building are engaged in qualifying activities. Again, this is an area where you need expert advice. Charities should also remember that if they are not VAT registered, but engage purely in charitable activities, and they purchase a building which has opted to tax in the past, and therefore VAT is technically chargeable on the sale price, then the building should be conveyed to them on a zero-rated basis. The owner may be VAT registered and not aware of this concession, but the transaction will be zero-rated. Again, it may be necessary to get clearance or provide some sort of certificate or assurance. Likewise, if a charity is renting premises, which again have been opted to tax in the past, with the landlord charging VAT on the rent, then it should be possible for the rent to be charged on a zero-rated basis if the building is used purely for charitable activities. Again, you may have to discuss this with the landlord and give assurances. Other costs which are zero-rated and the charity can avoid are VAT on drugs and chemicals if the charity is engaged in medical or veterinary research, energy-saving materials, equipment for producing talking books and newspapers for the blind, rescue equipment, resuscitation training models, and charities providing rescue or assistance at sea can acquire these with zero rating. There are other costs which are classified as zero rated, and details of these can be found on the Revenue and Customs website or their publications. Well, let's return to the subject of supply and whether a charity should VAT register, and then whether its supplies are standard rated, zero rated, exempt, or outside the scope. The term business use and non-business use are expressions you will come across in legislation, but it is important to note that you cannot automatically apply definitions from the business world. I have already said non-business is defined as outside the scope and completely disregarded and not taken into account when considering registration, that is, donations, gifts, legacies, small grants, etc. However, business income can be either standard rated, zero rated, or exempt. How do we define business? If goods or services are provided for consideration, the likelihood is that the income will fall and be categorised as business income. How can we apply tests to establish whether it is business income? 1. Is it a serious undertaking and earnestly pursued? 2. Are activities pursued with reasonable and recognisable continuity? It is important to remember that absence of a profit motive or service provided below market rate and receipt of third-party funding do not in themselves preclude an activity being defined as business for VAT purposes. A supply of counselling services will be standard rated, for example. What are zero-rated supplies? The most common known is, of course, the sale of books, although the definition can be found in Schedule 8 of the VAT Act 1994. It is also worth noting that the sale of donated goods is zero-rated. Goods bought for the provision of transport and passengers within the UK and vehicles which are designed to carry not less than 10 people are zero-rated. Exempt supplies also come under the heading of business supplies, albeit no VAT is added, but they will have a material effect on the recoverability of VAT input tax. Illustrations of exempt supplies are transport and services for sick and injured people, and vehicles especially designed for that purpose, provision of educational services, higher or further education, or vocational training provided by a charity is exempt. Many charities have an annual, or perhaps say two or three, events, conferences per year. If educational in substance, this would be regarded as exempt. There are many conference centres throughout the UK where charities, churches and other organisations will go for a weekend or week-long event which would be considered educational and classified as exempt. However, quite often the VAT treatment does vary from centre to centre and the VAT district office involved, and often it would be wise to obtain a ruling from your local VAT office. Good communication with those providing the facilities and the accommodation to ensure that everybody understands the nature of the event is helpful. The hiring out of buildings is exempt, unless the provision to opt for tax has been applied by the landlord. Cultural events, by their nature, are exempt, and admission charges to museums, galleries and concerts are similar if undertaken by the charity and run and administered on a voluntary basis for persons with no direct or indirect financial interest in the activities, again classified as exempt. Fundraising events organised and promoted primarily to raise money for the benefit of the charity would be regarded as exempt. Events of a semi-regular or continuing nature cannot be held to be an event, although up to 15 similar but separate events can be held at the same location within a financial year and be covered by this exemption. Such events would be annual balls, dinner dances, fetes, exhibitions, firework displays, auction of promises, etc. As a general rule, if an event is exempt, all associated income will also be exempt, including admission charges. Welfare services are another area of consideration. HM Revenue and Customs are prepared in some situations to regard the supply of welfare services as outside the scope of VAT, where services provided are consistently below cost and to distressed persons for the relief of their distress. Considerably below cost is defined by HMRC as a subsidy of at least 15%. Otherwise, welfare services involving goods and services by a charity are treated as exempt supplies. Welfare services include services which are directly connected with the care, treatment, instruction of the elderly, sick, distressed or disabled. Care means some form of continuing personal contact, looking after, helping or supervising people designed to promote the physical and mental welfare of the elderly, sick, stressed or disabled, and the protection of children and young people. Welfare services would not include non-essential items such as gardening, decorating, home improvement or professional hairdressing. Other areas we should consider are admission charges, which are generally standard rated. If the admission charge includes a voluntary donation, it would be non-business, providing it is clear that the admission would still be granted if the donation is not given and no benefit is received in proportion to the donation. If admission is by pre-purchase of a programme, this income is standard rated. Contract for services. Many charities receive funding to carry out particular services and appropriate paperwork and contracts are signed. Much of these services could well be within the scope of VAT. It would be important to determine if it is a taxable supply or exempt supply. You need to consider whether the donor directly receives anything in return for the funding. If the donor does not receive direct benefit, does the third party benefit instead? Sponsorship is a business activity and is standard rated. Likewise, the supply of staff is normally charged at the standard rate. The listener is perhaps now confused, but will realise how complex VAT can be and what careful consideration is necessary re the various supplies of a charity. Only by doing this will the charity be able to ascertain whether it should be VAT registered and whether VAT is chargeable on supplies, i.e. income. This brings us to our final consideration, another potential complex area for charities. A charity may be VAT registered, but may be limited in what it can recover in relation to its input tax. It does not follow that all input tax is recoverable, because much of the input tax may be regarded as arising because of non-business income or exempt supplies. If a charity is registered for VAT and has a mix of non-business and business and stroke or exempt taxable supplies, it can only in the first instance reclaim input VAT directly attributable to the taxable supplies. This means that the charity needs to identify from its accounting systems the nature of the income to which each input cost relates. There are de minimis provisions. All VAT on exempt supplies can be reclaimed if the input tax attributable to exempt supplies is 1. No more than on average £625 per month, and 2. The amount of exempt input tax must be no greater than 50% of the total input tax. How do you go about calculating what VAT is attributable to the taxable supplies? The standard method in the legislation identifies, firstly, input tax that is 1. Directly attributable to the non-business supplies, 2. Directly attributable to exempt supplies, and 3. Directly attributable to standard rated, reduced rate, and zero rated supplies. That is straightforward. Any input tax that cannot be directly related to any of these is called the residual input tax pool and would then need to be apportioned and recovered on a pro rata basis in relation to taxable supplies over the total supplies. There is more to it, of course, and outside the limited time available on this podcast. Also, there is nothing to stop a charity negotiating with HM Revenue and Customs their own special method of computation. I have come across many instances where particular recovery rates are agreed with HM Revenue and Customs in relation to specific expenditure categories. This often applies where it is almost impossible to ascertain a direct attributable input tax method. Special methods must always be agreed and approved by HM Revenue and Customs. I trust that this introduction to charities and VAT has at least identified the many pitfalls awaiting the average practitioner or finance manager of a charity. Thank you very much for listening to this AAT podcast.